Welcome to a new edition of the Neon Jazz Interview Series with Swiss-born, New York City-based jazz musician Eliane Ahmerd. She opened up about her new 2022 CD, Navigating This COVID World Since 2020, and her life in music. She is a singer, guitarist, and songwriter, and a true cosmopolitan artist. She was born in Switzerland, lives in New York, and it's that city's multicultural energy that influences the unique sound of her original compositions that are jazzy, groovy, and rooted in African, Brazilian, and Latin music. She's got a great story. Enjoy.
All right. Thank you for taking a minute out for Neon Jazz today. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So you got a brand new album coming out on January 28th. Talk to me a little bit about kind of not only the project, but coming out during a such a strange time on earth with all of this COVID stuff going on.
Yeah, tell me about it.
Yeah.
So yeah. The project is, each song is featuring a wine, and it's called La Dégustation, which basically means wine tasting. So it's a musical wine tasting. What I did, I went to my home area in Switzerland, which is like a valley where they produce a lot of wine. So wine has been, it's kind of like in our everyday life. Living there, kind of like in California. I visited wineries, I talked to winemakers, sommeliers, etc. Pretty much I wanted to know how they describe their wines, their passion, etc. And then with these words, with these adjectives, with these descriptions, then I went back to New York City and I started to write the song. Because of the pandemic, actually, we had time to rehearse it, which in New York City, sometimes it's a little hard to, like, usually when I did recordings in the past, I would have the band come in, like, to rehearsals and go into the studio, boom. This time around, since people had time, with Amanda Ruzza and Rosa Avila and me, we really, for a few months, we met every week in a rehearsal studio, and we tried to develop like a trio sound and really work out arrangements and stuff. And I, in this way, it was a good thing. And also, it's sort of like this whole project carried me through the pandemic, you know, with a purpose, so to say. It's a beautiful project.
So, you know, I guess, during this time of self-reflection and everybody's going through their things, it was probably a good thing to kind of reconnect with your roots in Switzerland with this, correct?
Yeah, that's an interesting question, yeah. Definitely. I always have a foot in my roots in Switzerland. I did other projects in the past where I took, like, folk songs from Switzerland and I arranged it. I'm a big Brazilian music fan and I play a lot of Brazilian music and I'm very influenced by that. And one thing that Brazilian artists do, they really, really treasure their roots and their heritage, their musical heritage. And a lot of young artists were always recording old standards, so to say, you know. So I was like, wow, why don't I do this with my own heritage and my own roots and see what's around, and then I just transform it, you know, in my style, so to say. And so this wasn't really a stretch for me. I guess I'm kind of nostalgic. And so I'm very tied to my roots. And these are, of course, awesome roots because they're wine roots. They taste very, very wonderful.
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
And I guess my next follow-up to that is that what do you ultimately want to get the listener that either downloads or buys this? What do you want them to get from this project?
Well, you know what? It's really about the finer things in life, and I think we really need this, you know, we need a little bit, get distracted or get uplifted, because everything is such a downer and everything is difficult. And so I think it's all okay just to have a moment of lightheartedness, and I feel that wine and music is kind of like doing this. It's really emphasizing the It just makes life more beautiful, both products. They're not really necessary to survive, but they make life more life-worthy, more prickling, I would say.
Absolutely. So let's go back to your roots in Switzerland. Talk to me a little bit about how you got involved with music and more specifically jazz and how it kind of took off for you.
I had a band in my teenagehood. So I from the very get-go, I always had my own band and always wrote my own music. And then we were sort of like a couple of friends that discovered jazz, and we were like, oh, you got to check this album out, you got to check that album out. You know, back in the day, when I was a teenager, we didn't have YouTube and stuff like that, so we had to go to the local CD store where this figure, Jean-Pierre, was. He's kind of like an icon. And you got to imagine, I'm coming from a little town in the mountains, so... You were like ordering an album, and then pretty much after a month, you would have it.
Absolutely.
And that's kind of like the story. But the way I really got into jazz is that my guitar teacher, I was like studying classical guitar, and he turned me on to flamenco guitar. And so I discovered Paco de Lucía. And via Paco de Lucía, I came across Friday Night at San Francisco with Aldi Meola and Sean McLoughlin. And I was like, wow, that's amazing. And via that, I sort of got into like the Miles Davis, the 70s stuff. And via the 70s stuff, I got into the older stuff. So I kind of like the jazz backwards, age-wise. And my dad always had... He always had a limited selection of LPs when I was a kid, but really interesting stuff. Like he had a Louis Armstrong record. He had one where on one side was Billie Holiday, on the other one was Ella Fitzgerald. He had like, I don't know, the Golden Gate Quartet and Harry Belafonte, etc. And I always loved those records, but I didn't know that was jazz, you know. To me, it was just music. But later when I was looking at the records, I was like, oh, wow, that's quite a interesting selection for somebody in the mountains. So I've been listening to that as a kid, you know, as well.
What was the first live jazz show that you saw that really blew you away?
Oh, well, I mean, that definitely blew me away. When I first came to New York, I first came with a friend just to check out the scene. I didn't come, like, move here right away. And we were very young, and we would go to the jazz clubs, and, you know, like, it was just like, whoa, what's going on here? And so we were two girls, very young, and the musicians were like, oh, wow, you like jazz. So within a week, we were on everybody's guest list. So that was quite exciting. Very exciting time.
So speaking of New York, was that always your dream to come to America and pursue jazz?
You know, I just wanted to get out my valley. I wanted to study music because I guess that's kind of like a Swiss trait. Like even with music, it's good to have a diploma.
Yeah.
As a Swiss person. So I was like looking at my options, and I said like, okay, I could go to Paris or to Vienna, etc. And then after I came to New York, I was like, what do I go to Paris for when I can go to New York, you know? So it took a little while because, of course, the whole expedition isn't really cheap, and I tried to organize things and student loans, etc. And I came to the new school and finished my jazz studies here, and then I got stuck in New York, and I've been here ever since.
What about mentors? You know, when you got here and really started kind of sinking your teeth into higher education, who really kind of guided the way that you would, you know, find your voice and, you know, your footing in jazz?
Well, I don't know. I can't really say that I had, like, a specific mentor, you know, but I would say... My mentors were the jazz musician or the Brazilian musician or the Latin musicians of the jazz, of the New York music scene, you know, that when I started gigging here, I would get the gig and I hire these people, and I really had the chance to play with amazing musicians, and by playing with them, I just learned so much, you know. That's pretty much my school, I would say.
Yeah, well, and you've had the chance to really perform with a lot of big names in the world of jazz. And I'm curious, what have you learned from, like, the legends and luminaries that, you know, you teach younger players now that you're around?
I'd say, wow, interesting question. I haven't really thought about that. I got to think about that. Well, in the new school, I had an ensemble with Reggie Workman, which was interesting. He was cool.
Yeah.
So I learned a lot from that. And he was, for example, he said, like, oh yeah, so you got to write the tune and stuff. And I was like, when I was in new school, it's like, I don't have time for writing tunes now, because I have to study. I have to, like, spend my time studying. And he told me, like, well, writing a tune is the best way you can study, you know. And it's true, you know. It's very true. If you do your own thing, you try to find your own voice, composing is an excellent way to do it.
What was the most surprising thing to you about moving to America and getting kind of involved with the American culture and pursuing this dream?
One thing that I quickly learned was, you know, when I went out and trying to get gigs, etc., it's Swiss people are more modest, you know. Or when I didn't live in New York at the beginning, and I came here, and you know, people were like, "Oh, so you're playing music? So what do you do?" And then I thought, like, "Oh, you know, I'm studying," and then they would, like, look at me with a pitiful look. So quickly I learned that if you want to get ahead here in the scene, you have to be very confident and not modest at all. So, like, you have to constantly pitch yourself. So that was a little, it's somewhat exhausting also, and thankfully I don't have to do this that much anymore, because I know more people, etc. But at the beginning I had to constantly pitch yourself, like, oh, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, I'm on tour here, I'm doing this concert, etc. Yeah, so I think it was just more of an really always, like, an advertising kind of mood all the time, you know. That was something cultural I thought was different.
So, you know, now that you're really firmly in, you know, this is your career in music, what do you like the best about being a professional musician?
Gosh, you know, I just love being on stage, you know. It's just a wonderful thing, and to have an audience, it's really a highlight, you know. That's the highlight. You work a lot to be there, just to get everything organized and line up, etc. It's a lot of work just to do it. Once you're on stage, it's like, with especially playing together. I also do solo concerts, but I really like playing together with musicians, and there you can really, sometimes there's just some magic happening. And then another aspect, of course, now that was a little limited, is the traveling to interesting places, you know. I mean, just because of music, I've been to places that, gosh, I would never have gone there, like countries like Mongolia or Malaysia or Myanmar, or, you know, countries like that. When would I have ever gone there? And one very cool thing about being a musician is that when you get to these countries, immediately you are in touch with local people. So if you're playing at a festival or you're playing at a concert, you get to know musicians from there, you get to know locals, organizers, and they take you around, they show you the place, etc. So if you were a tourist, maybe you would never even experience those sort of things.
Talk to me a little bit about returning to the stage. You know, we're at a point right now where we are hopefully at the end, getting towards the end of this pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
What do you hope we all realize about the power of live music when we do kind of return in earnest to the stage and get back to it?
Well, I hope in New York, sometimes it's hard, you know, to get the attention of people. You know, people have so many, before the pandemic, it's just hard to get people out, to get the attention, because people have gazillions of possibilities what they could see art-wise, music-wise every day, right? It's nice to have people to really appreciate and come and, you know, appreciate the actual live music. And I saw it last summer, or is it already 2 years ago? I don't know, like these days things just kind of blend together during the pandemic. I don't know anymore which year it
was.
I didn't know what time it was. I had just at the beginning of the pandemic, I was in Switzerland, and I had this, I think it was summer 2020, where there was just like a little bit of a light, and you could do some outdoor concerts. And we did this outdoor concert in the Italian part of Switzerland on a big piazza, on a big, you know, square, and people were there. And you could just see how it was just so great, like just the appreciation, and also for us, it was just beautiful, you know. After all these months of not having performed, it was just like really beautiful. So I hope that'll last a little bit after the pandemic and not, you know, go right, you know, like, especially I feel like in other places, people come to see you, especially, but in New York, it's a little bit of a fight for attention, for sure.
Absolutely. So everyone has a perception or an idea of who they think you are, your family, your friends, your fans, but ultimately, you live your life. You have a perception of yourself. Who do you think you are?
Well, that's quite an intense question here, huh? Like, do I think I am? Who do you think you are? Who you think you are? For I kind of made my life a little bit like my own bubble, and I do what I find joy in. I play music. I create my own music. I go play all over the world if it's possible, of course. So I do, and also, you know, like the topics I pick, the subjects, like this wine record. I do what I enjoy. So I created myself a life, my own life. I set it up like this. But I also work very hard to achieve this. You know, I organize and call and write and I invite people. It's just all the administrative stuff, setting up meetings, etc., takes also a lot of time in my life. So I go the mile to make all this possible, for sure. In a private, like more privately, I just, you know, I get some time. I mean, I like action, but I'm also kind of chill. I like a nice glass of wine at the end of the evening, and I like swimming and, you know, what can I say? I like nature.
Yeah. I dig it. So. Absolutely. Perfect. That's a great way to wrap everything up. Thank you for taking a minute out for Neon Jazz. Good luck with the album and the return
Thank
to the stage.
You.
I appreciate it.
That was very nice talking to you.
Thanks for listening and tuning in to another Neon Jazz interview, where we give you a bit of insight into the finest players in Switzerland, New York City, Kansas City, and spots all over the world, giving fans all that jazz. And thanks to Elian for her time, music, and story. If you want to hear more interviews, go to Famous Interviews with Joe Domino in the iTunes Store. Visit NeonJazz at YouTube.com, and for everything Neon Jazz all the time, go to the NeonJazz.blogspot.com. Until next time, enjoy the jazz, my friends.
Neon Jazz.